to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of masculine spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. And soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now, here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha and welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We are on the air. I love it. We get so many emails and people on Facebook messaging us and contacting us through our internet site, and we bump into people here and there, and they just really love the show. And I know the reason why is because we have a very gritty show. We have real people talking about real life and getting down into what really makes what their story is and their history, their personal history with the Lord. And today we're going to have as our guest here in a couple minutes, Grady Dyke. He is a cast member of Long Ride Home, our TV series, which is airing every Tuesday night at 11 p.m. on EWTN. And very soon, we're hopeful, it'll be up on iTunes, Amazon Prime, and all those other types of social, all those other types of digital platforms. So we're excited about that. And I want to say we normally, our show is recorded in time, I think, for Father's Day this weekend. So we want to say happy Father's Day to everybody. And you can go to our website, deepadventure.com. We've got all kinds of gear for the men. We've got the new Paracord Warrior Rosary by Tom Sullivan there. We have my books, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue, and Deep in the Wave, A Surfing Guide to the Soul. But the best thing you could do is get for someone you love the 10 DVD set of our reality TV show, Long Ride Home, on EWTN. And the major star of that show, according to him, is our guest today, Grady Dyke. Aloha, Grady. Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Hello, Bear.
Yeah, you didn't know, right? When you bumped into us, you decided you were going to ride with us to the Big Bend, you really had no idea what you were getting yourself into, did you?
I had no clue. All I was looking for was a ride to the Big Bend with some Catholic men. Had no idea this was going to lead to this whole TV career.
You know, the thing about it is my image of that first season is we're going to go out into the desert. We're going to get up in the mountains. We're going to have a lot of time to pray and have solitude. And the reality of it is it's tough, isn't it? Doing this show, being a cast member of the show is one of the toughest things someone can do, I think.
It is. It's hard work. And I didn't see it coming, but it's good work. It's good work.
You know, when I was on Hawaii 5-0, they had a woman standing there fanning me, and another person had an umbrella over me.
Hey, I didn't get that. Why didn't I have that?
Well, as I recall, one of the episodes, you did get the mud wrap at the spa.
I did. That's right.
And people don't know this, but season two, we're deep into editing season two, getting it ready for EWTN. Hopefully it'll be out before the year is over. There's so much work involved when you do a reality show. There's so much data, you know, just terabytes of data from the GoPros and from the audio and everything else like that. But we're deep into it now. And Grady, you're looking more and more like the main star of the show, I have to say.
That scares me.
You know, we have some of the other cast members, Jay Flunker, who we just love. What's his nickname on the show?
Iron Man.
And why is that? Do you remember?
Because he's an Iron Man.
Yeah, he runs the Iron Man. He proved it to us. Remember what he did that day when his motorcycle broke down?
Yeah, he rode like 1,000 miles or something crazy. I remember him laying on the blacktop on his back. That was...
Yeah, we got a picture of it. We weren't with him. We abandoned him in the desert with him and just the iguanas or something. Yeah, he had to go back after riding 60 miles. He had to go back to Houston, get a new bike, and then come up and meet us on the longest ride of that season. And he was a new biker, and dude, he made it. I think he rode 650 miles or something that day.
He got there late at night. It was dark when he got there.
Yeah, and that's so cool is like, you know, it must be really hard for him, I'm thinking, Grady, because Jay is always having to tell people, that I am an Iron Man. He works it into the first 1 minute of everybody's every conversation. Yeah, right. So have you heard his latest thing to try to avoid having to do that?
No.
He got a license plate now that just says Iron Man on it, so it saves him a lot of hassle having to tell people all the time that he is, you know. So,
you know, I live right here in the same town, but I haven't seen him or Father Mark. I haven't seen either of those guys.
Well, they're busy. They're busy. Yeah. And Grady lives in Houston, and the thing we love about Grady is it was like a Holy Spirit-inspired moment, because I don't know, Grady, what you meant to us. When you showed up, first of all, it was like reinforcements coming in. We were exhausted. I know we'd only ridden halfway across the United States, but doing a reality TV show and pushing long into the night riding. And then here came this just solid, gritty guy showed up somewhere, I think, at the border of Louisiana and Texas.
It was raining, remember?
Oh, yeah. And then we went the very first meeting Grady and then right into the thunderstorm. But on that ride, Grady, you really did a lot for us. You really became the tail gunner that you rode sweep for us. You protected us. Tell people what it means to ride sweep, what your role is back there on the back of the pack and how significant it is.
Well, I'm doing several things back there, but mainly I'm looking out for the pack, watching everybody, seeing, you know, well, a good example, we remember Cowboy Daniel, he had that little problem with the dehydration, you know, and the tail gunner can see those kind of things. Now, actually, it wasn't me that day, but that's one of the things you're watching out for, people make sure that nothing's loose on their bike, about to fall off. Or
yeah, you saw that with Jay Flunker's bike, right?
Exactly. Jay's back wheel starts wobbling. You're keeping an eye on the guys in front of you. And then when you're changing lanes, you know, you swing over to kind of block the traffic so that everybody can get over and from lane to lane, those types of things.
Well, describe that one technique when you're in freeway traffic, especially. Well, describe that technique of how a pack should ride together and how you make that lane switch.
The bigger the pack, obviously, the more difficult it is to change lane, especially when you're in traffic. So if you got a good tail gunner, When the road captain signals that he wants to get over one lane or the other, then the tail gunner picks that up and he can come over and sort of block traffic so that everybody can make that move at one time, not like kind of snaking over, but everybody at once shifting left or shifting right lane to lane. So you're shifting as a pack, and then the tail gunners can kind of block. It's not a blocking. Sometimes
it's,
you don't
it's
make
actually good. A blocking technique. I mean, like, and also yeah. Like when we're getting access to when we're making a turn into a busy intersection, what's your technique there as a tail gunner?
Well, you can ride out and block traffic as a road guard. You know, there's different theories on that from state to state. Some of the law enforcement may not appreciate you doing that, but you can kind of, especially if you're pulling out from a hotel parking lot onto a busy street, you know, if you got to get 6, 8, 10 people out, you really have to kind of block that traffic if you're going to do that, or else you're going to have problems.
And, you know, so you really realize by riding in the pack, you learn a lot about what it means to be Christian brothers. You know, the guy in the, you know, for me, when I'm riding up front as the road captain, I basically got my eyes in the mirror more than I have on the road in front of me. I'm always watching out for the guys behind me. But you back there, you really literally have our back. What lessons would you say we can learn from riding in a pack like that? Our spiritual lessons.
Unity. I mean, that's – and trust. Because when I first started riding with you guys, you were all new. I knew none of you. I knew none of you's capabilities and that sort of thing. And when you're going 70 miles an hour down through traffic and situations, I don't know how close I can get to these guys next to me, in front of me, and back of me, and what they, you know, what their capabilities are. But as we settled in and we took our places in the formation and got more comfortable with each other, then we started to tighten the pack up. start to have a little more confidence in each other and moving together. It's almost like the military. You know, when myself being a Marine, when you go in the military, one of the first things they do is you start to drill. And the reason for the drilling, that's to become one, so that every movement you make is in unison. Every step, every turn has to be timed in unison. And it's kind of that way riding in the pack. You got to do everything together.
It is. I mean, like, I like having Tony Orband as my sidekick. I know he's right there to the right of me. I know what he's going to do. I mean, one of the things is we pulled over once, and one of the riders, we're pulling off to the side of the road, and one of the riders decided to keep continuing on the far right side of the shoulder and nearly clipped me because he did something unexpected. So it really knowing and being able to count on one another. And this is why we talk about forming small packs or man caves, as I like to call them. Men getting together for breakfast once a week, or coffee, or a beer and a pizza someplace once every week or every other week, forming this relationship and riding as a pack, so that when Grady's in trouble or he needs prayer, I know he can call me, he can text me. We work together as men to challenge, equip, and encourage each other. That's what God is calling us, each of us men, to do for each other. And that's kind of what Long Ride Home is about. We're talking with Grady Dyke. He really is the star of Long Ride Home, our motorcycle reality TV show. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We'll be back with mega TV star Grady Dyke. This is the continuing exploits of the financial liberator, Tom Greite, CEO of Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Tom, when is a good time for people and when is it not a good time for people to use credit?
You use credit when you have an opportunity to buy an asset that will go up in value. Examples of that would be a home, an investment property, other types of investments. What you don't want to do is use a loan to buy an asset that's going down in value. The best example of that would be your car, or taking a loan out to go on a trip, or buying stereo equipment. What you want to do is that when the loan is paid off, the asset has gone up in value, not gone down. And that's what happens when you buy an appreciating asset. That's what doesn't happen when you buy a depreciating asset.
So use the virtue of prudence when you're making your financial decisions, and you can live a life of financial liberty. We've been talking with Tom Greite, the financial liberator and CEO of Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. That's NotreDameFCU.com.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Paying too much for your healthcare costs? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing their Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, call 844-313-4999. Again, 844-313-4999, or visit solidarityhealthshare.org.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. And my life is so adventurous because I have a radio show. People will talk to me who would normally wouldn't even give me the light of day, and I get to meet the most interesting people. But sometimes there's just coincidences where God just says, this is going to happen. And that's what happened when Grady Dyke got wind of us riding on season one into the Big Bend country of Texas and wanted to join us. Little did he know that he was going to get swept up into the Long Ride Home phenomena, and also going to be riding with us in season two, which we've already shot. That was riding from Cocoa Beach down to Key West and then all the way up to New Jersey and down the Blue Ridge Parkway, down the Tail of the Dragon, and soon to be filmed here, season three, the Big Island, in Oahu, Molokai, and the Big Island. So Grady, do you recall season two when you Lance took you out to learn how to surf?
You know, it's funny you say that, because just when you were talking about season two, that's what I thought about was demonstrating my superior surfing skills there in the water. I think the air temp was like 55, and the water temp was, I think, 53 or something like that day.
Yeah, it was cold, but we had to get the shot, you know. And it's like, you know, people go, oh, no, there's a hurricane coming. Well, for me, I mean, I'm concerned about people and the impact of the hurricane, but I want that hurricane to come, right? So because we need that for our TV show. And I'm trying to remember what happened in season two, what events happened in season two. But season three, on the Big Island, we got the volcano, man. We were over there last week doing site location stuff. So it's going to be pretty sketchy, you know, if it blows anyway.
That's good. That'll add to the show.
Yeah, a little bit of texture when we see Grady Dyke go up about 30,000 feet. But you were talking about riding as a pack, and you're a member of Catholic Motorcycle Ministries.
I am.
Which is really a solid group of riders. If you're on YouTube, you can see his patch. You know, you can listen to this on 500 terrestrial radio stations, Sirius FM, and all kinds of blogs, but also now you can watch it on YouTube. You can look at Grady and see how handsome he is. So you can go to our Bear Wozniak YouTube site and check
it
out.
I don't have Jay's hair. If I had Jay's hair, I would really be a rock star then.
Well, talk story about that emblem, that patch you're wearing.
That is the gyro for those, one of the most ancient symbols we have. The first two letters of Christ, the Greek, gyro, the Alpha and the Omega, and the beginning and end. CCB MN, Catholic Cross Bearers Motorcycle Ministry, founded in 2008. We have our 10th anniversary coming up this year. Rally. We're going to celebrate 10 years since the founding of this ministry, and it's growing every day. I went to Mobile a few weeks ago to be part of a conference, and we had a lot of people that I never met before. We're really growing.
This was the Catholic Motorcycle Ministries conference?
It was not. It was a coalition of motorcyclists, a national coalition of motorcyclists annual meeting in Mobile. And we're part of the Christian side of that, the Christian link to that coalition. And we were part of that with our other Christian biker brothers. And it was good. We had a big showing. We had 16, we were the largest group at the meeting.
No kidding.
The largest group there, the Catholic Cross Bearers, which is predominantly non-Catholic organization, but we've just grown so big.
How many members are there now?
I don't know for sure because we're growing so fast. I don't think anybody's even been able to keep up with it. But I guess probably, I want to say around 150 now. We've got a few, and even in foreign countries. I think we got one or two in England, Costa Rica, Wales, a few other places. So it's so done internationally.
If they want to find out more about that, where do they go? Do you have a website for them or Facebook?
Yes, we do. CatholicCrossBearersMM.com. CatholicCrossBearersMM.com.
Is that so? It's Catholic Crossbearers Motorcycle Ministry, but you're part of the overall coalition of motorcycle clubs.
Well, we're a member. We're a member of the National Coalition of Motorcycles. Yeah, we have a membership in that organization.
Which people may not know, but that's kind of a big deal.
It is. It took us. It took some work. Our president worked very hard to get us into that organization.
And I think the Lord did too, because as I recall, when he first started his ministry, the man who kind of had, I guess you would say, jurisdiction over that geographical area, the motorcycle club that he was in, was his cellmate and helped open the door for the launching of the ministry. I was at this place called Nico's Restaurant here, which everyone in Hawaii knows about Nico's. It's not a tourist place. Great grinds, as we say. And I saw a member of the Sons of Hawaii there.
Yeah.
And so I walked up to him and I said, you know, I used to ride with the Sons of Molokai. And he goes, brada, once a member of the Sons, you're always a member of the Sons.
That's what I was going to say. That's your brother, always.
Yeah, and but I'd ridden mostly with the Molokai pack. I mean, I should say, a chapter, but when I was living in Oahu, there was less than 10, maybe less than 5 active members of the Sons. But now there's 30 members here.
Wow.
And so I got to go down and meet them. That weekend they were doing a ride, so Cindy and I went over, and it was just love everywhere. You know, just so great to be part of that group. And I guess they're going to maybe let us, we'll do it, maybe get to shoot a segment with them while we're here on Oahu. So, cool. really, cool to have that brotherhood. Let's go back to that again, though. The concept of brotherhood, standing together. What can riding, being a member of the Catholic Motorcycles Ministries or riding in a pack, teach men about what we can do, what we need to do for each other?
Somehow in our history as men, we got this idea, this macho idea, this false macho idea that we can do it alone, that we're independent machines. And it's just not true. And, you know, I know a lot of combat veterans who they form a bond that's something we can't even understand. You know, they put their lives in the hand of that brother in combat. And that is a bond that they never forget. You know, even you talk to these old guys and they may even be suffering from Alzheimer's. They can't even remember, you know, what they did yesterday, but they don't forget those brothers that they were in combat with. They formed that relationship. And I think we as Christians, we need to form those kind of relationships, going deeper than just, you know, talking about sports or whatever. We need to go deep into our hearts, deep into our lives, and open up to each other and support each other. Because, you know, you see people that seem to be okay on the surface, and then you find out they committed suicide. That means they're not, something's missing there. They need, somebody should have been, I have friends that did that. And I wonder, why couldn't he just pick up the phone and call me and we could talk and, you know, we could help each other. You know, I would understand, but that's what we need to do. We need to go deeper. You know, your ministry talks about deep adventure, and we need to go deeper in our relationship as men.
Well, you know, men always want to be productive. I got to get this done. I got this deck I got to work on. I got to get my lawnmower fixed. I got to get ready for work on Monday. And I'm learning that Sunday afternoons is a good time to call friends. But you actually need to realize that's your most productive thing you can do, is to build a relationship and to reach out to friends and really find out what's really going. I'm like you and Lance Mackey have become really good friends.
We have.
One of our cast members. And you're not, it's more than that. You really talk deep about what's going on in each other's lives. And
we do. We talk regularly.
Yeah. And you talk about, well, why didn't that person just call me? Well, maybe we should be calling them. You know, it's like there's people we need there in everybody's life. There's maybe one or two or three, or maybe there's a dozen, or maybe even more friends, but we need to cultivate, men need to cultivate friendship. Men are basically isolated and lonely, and they don't want to admit where they're failing or where they're scared or where they're challenged, you know? And we need to reach out and open up to each other.
We're afraid to be vulnerable. We really are. We need to get over that.
God,
you know, it was on your show that I opened up and talked about what I had been through myself, some of my personal experiences. And I did that in front of, you know, a camera, and that was difficult. Some things my family, my own children didn't know about me. But I did that because I wanted men to know that it's okay. It's okay to talk about your weaknesses and your problems and the things, the areas that need to be opened up and healed by Christ.
You know, Jesus made himself vulnerable, didn't he?
Was that?
Jesus made himself vulnerable.
Oh, absolutely. He couldn't be more vulnerable than just the gospel yesterday talked about that. You know, his family said he's crazy. He's possessed. What's wrong with this guy? He was out there, you know, he couldn't even get a meal because people were all around him. He opened himself up to the world. And
ultimately on the cross. We're talking with Grady Dyke. When we get back, we're going to get a little bit more deeper into his personal journey with the Lord. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We want to wish all you fathers happy Father's Day. I don't think as a father on a Father's Day, we should be looking for what kind of presents we're going to get or recognition we're going to get. I think you should take Father's Day and say, what am I going to give to my family this day? What am I going to do special for every one of my children, for my spouse? Think of Father's Day as what our Father in Heaven did in giving His Son. And give your very best to your children on Father's Day. This is Bear Wozniak. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Deep Virtue with Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, this is Bear Wozniak from deepadventure.com with Deep Virtue number 74. If you ever want to see something kind of funny, watch me throw net. I've learned how to throw Hawaiian net. And it's really quite a technical thing that you do. And when you toss this net, I have a big, heavy one. The idea is it should land and it should look kind of round like the island of Oahu. But when I throw net, it's kind of long and skinny like the island of Molokai. And you're not going to catch many fish that way. I was riding the other day. I was down by the harbor where the big ships come in. And there was a person down there that was throwing net. And he walked down to the edge of the jetty. And he got in that position where he wanted to throw. And he throws the net, and he got entangled in it, and he actually threw himself into the water when he threw the net. It kind of reminds me of our walk with the Lord. God wants us to, as the Bible says, cast your bread upon the waters. After many days, it shall return to you. We need to release to God that net. And I'm going to just say for this, let's use that net as an example of our career or how we provide for our families. We need to throw that net. We need to give it all to the Lord. We need to, cast our burdens upon the Lord, for He cares for us. If we are striving so hard in our work so that we can have our own accomplishments, so that we can reach our own goals, we'll get entangled in that net. We'll get entangled, as Jesus said, in the worries and cares of the world. We need to throw our net out, but work as unto the Lord, not as unto men, for from Him comes our reward. Remember the great saints who were fishermen, and Jesus here is a carpenter telling them, throw out your net on the other side, and they hadn't caught a fish all day, and then they just brought in a great, great harvest. So in your career and in your need for financial blessing, throw your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. This is Bear Wozniak from deepadventure.com with Deep Virtue number 74.
Deep Virtue with Bear Wozniak. Find out more at deepadventure.com.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We want to encourage you guys to go to our website, deepadventure.com. You can order the 10 DVD set of Long Ride Home. And we got the Bear's Man Cave cigars, the 7 cigar samplers that are the 7 Virtue cigars. That, by the way, the Napa Institute is going to have us provide the cigars for them for this year's cigar nights. When you go to the Napa Institute, it's an incredible experience. If you haven't signed up to go, you should go. I think you just Google Napa Institute. It's going to be in Napa, I think, July 11th to the 15th. You meet great people there who are totally devoted to you and to each other and to furthering the cause of Christ. And so there's a lot of opportunity. There's like wine tastings at 5 and cigars and whiskey at 9 because they want, long elongated breakfasts and lots of places to sit and talk because they want people to cultivate relationships. But we get to provide our 7 Virtue cigars for the night cigar nights, which are every night. And we also get to show one of our episodes of Long Ride Home. So that's going to be really cool. So we have a cast member of our TV show, Long Ride Home, with us right now, Grady Dyke. Aloha, Grady.
Hello.
Hey, Grady. You got to learn how to say aloha. Let's hear you say aloha.
Aloha.
Okay. And what does haole mean? Do you remember?
Haole means without breath.
That's right. How did people like you and me from the mainland get that name?
Because Captain Cook, you taught me this. Captain Cook came to Hawaii and he shook hands instead of touching foreheads and breathing face to face.
And so he had no breath. And yet ha means breath. So aloha means to give breath.
All right.
So it really means to give love. And so so we got a special role for our buddy Lance, huh? Did he tell you about what we're up to with him?
He did. He told me. I don't want to spill the beans here because people will be looking for season 3 eventually.
Yeah, I know. Season 3 will be a whole year at least before it comes out. But yeah, he's gonna be dressed up in the matching aloha shirt and aloha shorts, wearing black socks with flip flops and so he's going to be howly to the max. He's going to wonder why we keep calling him Max.
But he dresses that way all the time. How are we going to know?
Don't let that secret out.
Hey, I want to go back to Father's Day while you talk because, yeah. My wife and I raised 9 children. And I think one of the things you talked about getting, not worrying about getting presents, the gift of being a father. I think we need to thank God because what He's done is He shared His fatherhood with us. He let us be a part of being father. And I've learned that over the years, you know, with my children, that this, the disappointments, you, the good times, the bad times, and I've learned more what it must be like to be God, who loves us infinitely, and he sees us going on the wrong path sometimes, and it breaks his heart, but he stays with us. You know, he doesn't abandon us. And that's a gift of fatherhood. And you know, I lost my son. We've talked about that on previous shows.
And you could talk about that though, Grady.
You can't. In the background here, there's a picture. That's a picture of my son on the wall. But anyway, you know, when I lost him, I thought the father lost his son on the cross, and he shared. I'm sharing in that loss. He let me know what it was like to lose his son in some small way, in my you know, earthly limited way. But and the good times and the bad, it's all fatherhood, and it's all good. It's all a gift.
You know, Grady, it's like I was talking with Mike Aquilina last week about the concept of this, of a sacrifice. And you know, when we celebrate Mass, we offer Jesus. We join ourselves with Jesus and offer ourselves to the Father as a sacrifice to the Father. But it was the Father who sacrificed, who gave his Son. We forget that he first gave us his Son, and then we then give him back. So it's like, you know, Abraham with Isaac.
Yeah.
We forget about the feeling, the emotion. I don't know how to say it because he's God, but the love that was outpoured by God the Father when he saw his Son on the cross. You know, it was a gift of the Father. You know, the Protestants have it all wrong. They believe that Martin Luther believes in something called penal substitution, which is that God sent Jesus for one reason, and that was to die on the cross as a substitute for our sin, that he was punished for our sin by angry and just God. Nothing could be further than the truth. Jesus came to be in solidarity with us, and to join us in this infinite God with our humanity, being all God and all man. And it was an act of total love, not of judgment, but of love by the Father to give his Son, and total love by the Son to bring us to the Father and to raise our dignity in what we refer to as recapitulation, where Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness. Yeah, talk to us about that.
Absolutely.
Share the gospel with us, Grady. Lay it on us.
I wanted to go back when you were talking about the loss of his son, and especially for those people out there who may have lost a child. I always think about, you may know this story, but Fulton Sheen was speaking at St. Patrick's in New York, preaching once. I think it was during a Lenten season. He was speaking on the love of God. And a woman came up and stood right in front of the pulpit while he was preaching and looked up at him and said, "Where was your God when my son died?" And Fulton Sheen was so wonderfully, without skipping a beat, he looked down at the woman and he said, "The same place he was when his son died." And it just gave me chills. I was like, whoa.
Amen. Grady, tell us the gospel.
The gospel. God so loved the world, gave his only son. That's the guy. You know, I go and I talk to youth and juvenile center. I do a Bible study, and it's one thing. When always we get to the gospel reading, I say, "What is gospel? Anybody know what gospel means?" And of course, they fumble around, and I say, "It's good news. Gospel means good news." And I say, "Okay, if the gospel is good news, what is the good news?" And then they kind of fumble around some more, and sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. And I have this crucifix here on my vest, and I say, "This is the good news. God loves you this much. God loves you this much." That's the gospel. God became a human being, died on the cross for us to demonstrate his love. He opened those arms on the cross wide open to demonstrate, to say, "I love you." That's why the crucifix is so wonderful. We as Catholics have that great gift, you know. Every home, every Catholic building, every room should have that crucifix in it, because it says, "I love you." It's huge. Love cannot be demonstrated any more than that. For a God, our God, to come down, take on a human nature, and give himself fully without reserve, held nothing back. No one loves us that way. No one can love that big. But
Grady, there are people that have dug themselves in a hole so deep. The depravity of pornography or an affair or just being selfish and self-centered and focused on money or power or fame. There are people that they feel they've dug themselves such a deep hole that they can't get out of. What do you say to them?
Here's what I say. If you're Catholic, if you're baptized Catholic, I say this. You're one confession away from coming back. One confession. You go into that confessional and you dump it and you start anew. And that prodigal son, that father's waiting. He's looking for that prodigal son to come back. And you're back. It's that simple. It's not complicated. If you're Catholic, you find a church, you go to confession, you dump the load, you get it over, you start anew, you're brand new like a little baby again, you start over and you pick up and you keep going. If you're non-Catholic, you get down on your knees and you say, I'm a mess. I'm out of control. I need your help. I can't do this alone. That's the first step. You know, if you do the 12 steps for the alcohol and drug programs, the first step is I can't do this alone. And that's where we as men, we think I'm tough. You know, I can tough this out. Yeah, that's a part of being a man. But when you're talking about being deep into sin and all the things of this world that are killing us as men, you get down on your knees and you say to God, I need your help, and he will help you.
You know, I'm reading the life story right now of a murderer. I've read 1300 or 1400 pages of his life, his history of a murderer. His name is St. Paul.
Yeah.
And every morning I pray the prayers of a murderer, written by King David.
You know, I'm reading, I found, I'm going to interrupt you because I found a book recently called A Different Kind of Cell. And it's about a Marine who killed his sergeant. He ended up killing two or three other people.
When we come back, we'll get into that, Grady. We've got to take a hard break. This is Bear Wozniak. But what we're saying is that you can't have done anything. If St. Paul, who was a murderer, and King David, who was a murderer, have received God's love, grace, and forgiveness, there's nothing you can do that's beyond the reach of God's mercy. We'll get right back and listen to this cliffhanger that Grady was introducing to us. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure with Grady Dyke, the major star of Long Ride Home reality TV show. Aloha, everybody. This is Bear Wozniak with the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I got to tell you, last weekend we had big surf here in Hawaii, and again 2 weekends ago, and then just this last weekend. And there's a couple waves I just won't forget. Just beautiful, rich, full, hollow waves paddling way outside. There's a place called Canoes, and where everyone kind of congregates. And then way outside there's Canoes, there's a place called First Point. And I went out there to First Point with three or four. There was maybe 100 people on the inside and three or four of us out beyond that at First Point. And guess what? I got to drop in on one of the biggest waves of the day. That's what we challenge us to at Deep Adventure, is to go out beyond the norm, the mediocrity that the world is calling you to. Turn your back on the aina. That's the land, the safety of shore. And paddle out in the deep adventure that God has for you. Go out into the deep where I was, and when this big wave came, I could see it coming out of the deep blue, about 3 minutes before it got to me. And I paddled out further and further, and then I had to turn and paddle with all my might against the offshore trade winds, drop in late, and had one of the greatest rides of my life, just flying by. And I'll tell you this, a lot of people saw me riding that wave, especially the people who had been staying on the inside. You know, they were only about 1/8 of a mile out. I was probably closer, well over 1/3 of a mile out. They saw me drop in on this way, but you know what? They didn't see me. They saw a surfer. They saw my board carving a beautiful line along the face of that wave. What they saw was the wave and someone riding it. That's what we're saying in Deep Adventure Ministries. The most radical thing you can do in life is abandon yourself to the wildness of the adventure of God's will. And if you abandon yourself to God's will, you know what's really cool? You disappear. And people no longer see you. They see Jesus. When I dropped in on that wave, people were mesmerized by the wave, not the fact that I was riding it. But by riding it, it allowed that the perfection and the beauty and that power of the wave to be seen. That's what we want to be as Christians. We want to be we want to be away from the pack. I mean, we want to be with our people, our Christian brothers and sisters. But that the world is adrift and says we. And that's another thing. The whole pack had been adrift. The waves were so big that the currents were pushing them sideways along the beach, and they didn't even know it. And I paddled to hold my position. And I dropped in on that wave because I held my ground too. The scripture verse I read Sunday morning from Ephesus, Ephesians 6:14. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Paddle out, go into the deep, abandon yourself to the deep ocean of God's love and will, and then paddle in with all your might. And then the other thing is hold your position in the lineup. There's nothing more worse than you see a poser out there who looks like he knows how to surf and he's just drifting along past everybody. Hold your position. Paddle out. Turn your back on all the agendas of your life. Hold your position in the lineup. Stand your ground in prayer and in concrete virtue, and then paddle in with all your might to God's will. I could tell Grady Dyke, member of Longcast Home, is just like wants to say something. Go on, Grady. What are your thoughts?
We left off talking about the book I was telling you, A Different Kind of Cell. You brought up the subject about being forgiven, and there's nothing we can do that God can't forgive. And sometimes people feel that. I know a lot of men feel that way. They feel like, I've done these things, God can never love me. I can never be a holy person because I've done. And you talked about St. Paul and David being murdered. And Eric Wardrum, you know, that's what the priest told him in prison. He said, Eric thought he could never come back to the church. And the priest, prison chaplain told him, you know, Moses was a murderer. David was a murderer. Paul was a murderer. Yeah, you can come back. And I found a book recently, A Different Kind of Cell. It's about a Marine who kills his Marine sergeant. And he goes to Leavenworth. And while he ends up killing two more inmates, and then he kills a prison guard. And at that time in the federal prison system, there was no death penalty. So they didn't know what to do with this guy. He was just out of control. So they spent $40,000 and created a cell for him never to come out of. And guards were told, do not talk to him. He's going to be completely isolated for the rest. And he was young. He was in his early 20s. And he was to be completely isolated from the rest of the world. And eventually, over a period of time, a priest came to minister to him and was able, they allowed the priest to talk to him. And the book's great, you have to read it. But at the end of the day, he becomes an oblate of the Trappist community in prison. He becomes a monk in prison, has a complete conversion. And nobody in the world is believing that this guy's for real. They think he's just trying to get out of jail by putting on this Christian image. But he has this really deep conversion, and this priest walks it with him, and it demonstrates that nobody is beyond God's mercy. That's the message, and that's the message I want to convey right now to anybody who's watching this, wherever you're at. You're not beyond God's mercy. You know, Sister Faustina tells us what our Lord told her that his mercy is endless, and the only obstacle is the obstacle you place in your heart from receiving that mercy. There's no limit on his end. He's wide open. He's ready to forgive, and you can start anew. Like I say, if you're Catholic, one confession away. You're one confession away from being brand new like a baby. You start all over again.
And of course, if you're not Catholic, go to a priest.
Sure.
And to pray. You know, God is all powerful. He's all merciful. God is love. But you are extremely powerful, too, because you can stop God's love. You can resist God's love. He's given you that freedom. That's the vulnerability he's given himself. You can be as powerful as God. You can stop God's love from entering your heart. Or you can open your heart up. And believe me, God is real. When you open up your heart, you know that you know that you know that you know. It's not a contrived feeling. It isn't white knuckling it and trying to get your faith worked up and positive mental attitude, you know, faith in faith or something like that. It's just when you say, Jesus, forgive me, as Augustine said, and let me give all I am to you and be the king of my and ruler and Lord of my life. Something changes. He gives you a new right and desires. He takes out the heart of flesh from the stone from your body and gives you a soft heart of flesh. Talk about that, Grady. We got 5 minutes. 4 minutes. I want you to just bring this horse into the barn. I want people right now to give their lives to Jesus. Pull over to the side of the road, and Grady, share with them, and then lead them in a prayer.
Well, sometimes you have to reach the bottom. There's a Baptist minister in Tennessee, and I'm trying to remember his name. It's David Sturgeon, I think. He was the second in charge for I won't mention which one, but a major 1%er motorcycle club, who went through some crazy things. He wrote a book called Biking and the Brotherhood, and he went through it all, and he ended up in prison, and on a cold cement prison floor, he opened a Bible that a prison chaplain gave him and started reading it and broke down in tears. And he was looking at 30 years at least in prison. And he just said, Jesus, help me, forgive me, God, forgive me. I've made a mess of my life. And everything changed. And instead of 30 years in prison, he was paroled. And eventually he became a minister. And so it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. All it takes is get down on your knees and say you're sorry and say, God, I'm sorry I messed it up. And I need you. I need you to come into my life. We're in trouble. I mean, it doesn't take much to look around in our world today and see we're in trouble. And the answer is Christ. The answer, Christ teaches us who we are. Christ shows us who we are. You know, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he reaches his hand out. I tell the kids in the juvenile center, God reaches his hand out to you. You can take his hand or you can push his hand away, and he won't force you. But his hand stays out. It's there whenever you want it. And there are people out there who are on the edge. You know, we see every day people committing suicide. Reach out. Reach out wherever you are. Put your hand up and say, here, I'll take your hand.
You know, the thing is we do, whether we go to heaven or hell, it's 100% under our control. But you men out there that are tough and gritty and have messed up, join the crowd, dude. We're all there. We're all misfits, you know. And we need you to join our army, to become a Christian, to become a Catholic. Join with us doing about face. You're the guy we want. You're the guy we want. We don't need Ned Flanders, you know, Homer Simpson's neighbor. We need tough guys who have made some big mistakes, done some, you know, messed up things like we all have. And join with us, join the army, join the crusade, and help us, as Ephesians 6 says, stand your ground, step into the breach, and stand for the beauty and justice and truth and unconditional love of God, and fight back the moral iniquity by a life of laying down your life in service. This is Bear Wozniak. We've been talking with Grady Dyke from the cast member of Long Ride Home. Grady, I'll see you in Hawaii in a few months.
I'll be ready.
We're going to be shooting season 3.
All right.
You know what Jimmy Buffett said? I don't know where I'm going to go when the volcano blows, so who knows? Okay, we'll be back next week with another Bear Wozniak adventure. Until then, Viva Cristo Rey!
Viva Cristo Rey!
Aloha.
You've been listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Go to BearWozniak.com to get your free audio and other exciting content. Plus, you can pick up the Long Ride Home 10-episode DVD set, autographed copies of Bear's books, Long Ride Home shirts, tanks, coffee cups, and even motorcycle pins and patches. And find out how guys can sign up for Bear's Man Cave online Facebook group, all at BearWozniak.com.